Yeah, I tried again with a poem. Its name is Asocial Butterfly. It's a, you know, a social butterfly, but this is an asocial butterfly. Yeah. Flutter plume, accelerate, playing the field from day to day, torn by the wind from friend to friend, burning with thin till to the end. Oozy old odor of the American dream is the mass destruction powder of your fluttery wing. You pink little sausage want to wear the clothes you own? But isn't the cocoon your own silken gown? Part prison and part home. They cut it away when you was very young. They took all the work from you, so you never became strong. They didn't know you need exercise to set you free. You was nurtured and hatched as if you were a profane bee. With dollar notes they formed your wings of liberty. They stick them in your back and let you fly around the world to see a light you were too weak to face. Your eye, blinded by beauty, still has this craving gaze. The chance of challenge was enthralling you. In your most inner dreams about fantastic stories, finding a mysterious clue beyond all boredom and all worries. You stepped on the rolled out red carpet with theatrical ease, but then a sudden stop, an unpassable crease. Useless, crying for help, first time you know, you will cease. And you use your inner fire to set your wings aflame. The heat drives you higher and higher, you are no more ashamed. Reborn with the wings of fury, the German Schmetterling. This name now suits you, loud, proud, and finally burning little thing. Thanks.
Thank you. And now Mr. Colin Sully.
I wrote this during the summer there, during the holidays, so I'm not sure if it's a poem or a piece of prose, so you can decide that. It was during the very hot weather, so I may have been suffering from sunstroke at the time, so that's my excuse anyway. It's called The Nine Staves. On my sweet journeys across Ireland, I came across a host of things. This fragment was found in a ditch just south of Galway. It may have been the ramblings of a blind harpist, but I treasured above all my souvenirs from those happy rambles in Erin. The nine staves of Celtic mysticism, as promulgated by the Oracle of Erin. Stave the first. Sleep with your head pointed in the direction of the Hill of Tara. Stave the second. Sleep with your brother's wife on the ninth day of the ninth month previous to childbirth. Stave the third. Hang your washing basket low on the second line when the wind blows from the east. Stave the fourth. East is east and west is west. On the fourth day after childbirth, north is south. Stave the fifth. Mince your rabbit stew with corn or the changeling will come out in your grown son. Stave the sixth. Stave six is an airborne secret as per druidic rites. Stave the seventh. Turn your coppers to silver in your pocket by rolling them over your fingers. Stave the eighth. Say the Hail Mary backwards three times when pruning apple trees or thinning turnips. Stave the ninth. Stave off hunger by reciting the rosary while facing towards Tara, replacing the names of each decade with the High Kings of Ireland. It is perhaps willful of me to protest its authenticity, but in many arguments with numerous antiquarians and historiographers, I have lost sight of its pertinent point, that being the beauty of its message. Who cares if it's genuine or not? Surely what's important is that It all makes sense in this mixed up post-Christian, post-Celtic tiger world.
And next up we have Simon.
This is a poem I wrote this evening called Poetry Mind. A horse's head atop a steel pole, carved in rough-hewn stone, the eye polished smooth, commands the bar. Beneath, a pot for contributions, for all inspired or otherwise desired and drawn to obey out. The room, in wood and stone atop the long valley, windows open to the pedestrian street, haunting music, a busker on a corner drifts in competition to the rap and jazz the speakers softly play. People slowly congregate, bar stools, tables, mismatched chairs begin to fill. Drink begins to flow, the evening starts. The challenge, five impossible words plucked from mind's murk to be fashioned to some cohesive whole. Brain rack, trying for the form, hearing others, different pace and flow, creating something other. From things never meant to be cohesive and together. In breaks, the smokers in groups gathered catch up with news. The guests ebb and flow of rhythmic tones, bounce and dance. Word pictures intelligible through pace and mood, echoes creating enough to float. Eyes closed or intently focused, carried in another's muse. A poetry place. Monday, as regular as rain, celebrate the word, each line quite unique, composed by another mind, painting word pictures.
Thanks, Simon. Finish for another poetry.
Good morning, Julie. I read in the paper a few days ago that we were to see shooting stars. I think it was Sunday night or Saturday night. Anyway, I looked out quite a few times. It was very cloudy, so I saw nothing. I don't know what the scientific name of them is, maybe it's meteors or meteorites, something falling to Earth. But when I read it, I was reminded of a late uncle of mine, James McIntyre, Virginia, County Cavan, that's where my family came from, who died over 20 years ago on a night in August when there were shooting stars. So whenever I hear of shooting stars, I think of Uncle James, and I happened to be living in France at the time. So this is a simple poem I wrote about him called Rêve de Raha, Shooting Stars. Rêve Raha, far a fuist a flag a hail a ba munch a chemus. A scop a hoes is caught as gachain a vadin, as leon some eichas to laur an vada. Far cliach mwyl pa oed a deoch, an gwrs as drwm a deoch. Cion as mas de cochoch, de dyrion as pishtin, as an ffwrt mawr lŷn vaelin. I gochad Grenoble dy riasor, dy dy valisiat an i hwyl, na rael ti raha. Le dde twal filon, ma lwt yr orn so. I yda ddeli di sys dy ffreb si roi as gwrs at yno. Ys anna gys na hoeta, anna mi gleim dyn chwrt ys dach am ac lyn de, i fi ni'n ach ein cawn di. O hys o'r ma hemys, gwr heri sfein Grenoble, a ni hyr gyrfa di ysdag. Yn ffawn mawl ddeli sianta, lagos yw ydyn bawa, I general de raha, and we did the 12 filon, shooting stars. Uncle James was the postman, spreading knowledge and friendship each morning, and learning in the evenings in the small town library. No half measures with you. Every task done to the last, exact in every detail. You were well liked and respected for insight and level judgment, and for a plaintive air on the fiddle. I happened to be in Grenoble the night you left, the night of shooting stars. Here they say, les étoiles filantes. I watched them plunging through the sky down southwest towards Chateauneuf. Here too they say that each star falling is a soul leaping from the body into the arms of God. Indeed, James, I'm glad that you passed by Grenoble the night you left. You feel the last slow air left down the bow, and a night of shooting stars soon lead as a twenty dawn.
These things were very popular in Cork in my younger days. No decent poem really started without work from some important figure of the past. And this is Edgar Pond, man of no future, named to come, titled The Patient. A man of no future and with a time with a name to come. He did not use a name or speak at all, not one of the thousand languages of India. He did not eat, his slight frame was evidence. He faded away, leaving the memory of a smile just slightly apologetic. An image from television, a tower where birds of prey find food, crosses my mind. I offer no explanation for his early death.
Thank you, Charles. And next up is Dylan.
I got the five words wrong, so I'll just read out the five words I have prepared for the next day. The words I had were atter, which is like, I think it was a poison. Cozen, C-O-Z-E-N, which is like a deceitful trick or some sort. And then banana, circus, and potion, I think it was. So I read it down.
How does he get those ones from?
So, atter on the pulse of her wrist. Cologne's cousin was what would give his tongue the slip, and even had love's novice strained at his wit's cusp, and could curtly snuff his sultry notions, having whiffed upon her bottled potion, would he still have abandoned conversation's course to infuse that blinded offering of a banana, that strangely suggestive fruit. Seduction and all its peacock feathers belong under the circus tent. That's that. Short this one's called Doubts Harmonized. When the high green sun slipped up the cloud sleeve, it left the colours of my eyes dim. It was then she turned from me, and it was then I first supposed that the birds perhaps do sing in vain. That's it.
Thanks.
I'm trying to remember this one. An appeal to the integrity of the Scots as a nation. I've read some books on Welsh and Irish history, both ancient and modern. And I've read some books on Scottish history, including Bannockburn and Culloden, and I'll tell you this. It was the common people that suffered most, where wealthy families argued the toss, and as castle towers speared the sky, the common folk prepared to die, and die they did, in greatest number, their normal lives torn asunder by armies warring over the land, a murdering, thieving, raping band whose evil actions are encouraged and praised by wealthy patrons long depraved. I read these books in this day and age and I'm bowed with sorrow, and I'm towering with rage. The fruits of these crimes are here today. They haven't changed or gone away. They colour our lives, they colour our thoughts, make prejudice between haves and have-nots. In the face of state and religious power, our freedom withers by the hour, and Machiavelli is heir apparent in government of little talent. We'll hope for us, the common crowd, we'll hope for honour and pride unbound, we'll hope for a settled and peaceful land, to hold our freedom in our own hand. They say, those who would forget the past are condemned to repeat it. So let's remember, because we've surely had quite enough of this shit. We Scots, a common cause must make, and from the brutish empire break, deliver an independent nation, regain and hold a rightful station. And as imperialism fades away to the mists of time into yesterday, let our constitution nearly rule the country. The common person's greatest bounty, let officials hold their post by merit instead of what they did or what they didn't inherit. And with these thoughts, I'll leave you now, but stand up for freedom and be proud. Okay, I'll see if we can remember another one. Time in a Broken Ball. Can I remember that one? No, I can't. Okay, I'll do a couple of short ones. Sadness and gladness, in between gulf, two points divided by a wide, deep ocean. Losing and loving are sadness and gladness. Losing and loving are deep like the ocean, strong like the waves. Losing and loving are sadness and gladness, both go and come back again. This is called Good Luck. He was sad, so was she. Miserable, misery. Both blamed both, both blamed the other, so they went taking separate lovers. Honeymoon happy, honeymoon glad. Soon gave way to rebound sad. Both look back, both are blue. What to say and what to do? The rebound rebounds, it's on again. Reconnecting with the pain. Both want both, both want the other to live a big life and grow old together. Thank you. Good night.